Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I hope you are having a great morning at home, a great morning in church. And I just wanted to echo what the other guys have said, and I just want to welcome you to church. If you're sitting there and you've come across this stream somehow, or someone sent you a link in a text message or an email, I want you to know that we've been praying for you. If you're watching this, we have been praying for you this weekend, and praying that you would know God's love, His amazing love for you through this Easter period. So we're going to get ready. We're going to get stuck into the Word of God. So if you've got your Bible there, grab it out. We're going to be using that today. And I was just thinking this week as I was preparing about the weirdness of this Easter, how it is a bit bizarre where we find ourselves right now. And you may normally be a family that goes away over Easter. I just saw some news only a few seconds ago that said, if you're planning on getting in the car, don't go. You're not allowed. And so camp in the backyard is my suggestion. Get your tent, camp in the backyard, or just go out in your caravan in the driveway. I don't know. Are you allowed to do that? I don't know if you're allowed to do that even, but I don't know. See how you go. And there's been a bit of adjustment for all of us over these past few weeks. And I even think that adjustment is a little bit of an understatement as to what we've been experiencing. I was watching a documentary a few weeks ago, and it was last week, and it was a SpaceX documentary, if you're wondering what it was. It was about going to Mars. Apparently, man's going to Mars in our lifetime, Elon Musk says. Anyway, it was weird as I was watching it. There was this room that they were all in watching these monitors, and there were like so many people in there, and I said, what are they doing? This is not social distancing. I don't know if you've caught yourself actually watching something and thinking, they are not social distancing. What are they doing? It's so weird how rapidly things have changed that's what you think about instantly when you see that sort of thing. I've been working from home the last couple of weeks, and last Monday it was. I was working from home, and I actually have three kids. I have three kids. I know that I have three kids. And three kids at home, and I was looking after them. I say it like that. I was looking after my kids, and I was working at the same time, which if you've ever tried that and you've got young kids, you know it's near impossible. And I was working there, and we've got a little one. His name's Roman. He's awesome. He's 19 months old. And Roman is great, but at 19 months, he's a little bit of a handful. And he will roam around, and get stuck into things. And it just so happened that for a little bit of time, I left him in the care of his older siblings, who are 8 and 5. And you know kind of where this story is going. And I walked into the room, and Roman was standing there with Olive, our daughter's nightlight, in his hand, and there was a battery on the floor. There was one little button battery on the floor. And you know what the next thought that came into my mind was? That's right, how many batteries should there be? And I asked the question of the kids, and they said there should be three. There should be three batteries, and there was only one battery. So we turned the room upside down, and we even turned the house upside down looking for these batteries, and we actually didn't find them. And so I thought, okay, well, he must have just posted them in a little hole somewhere, or he's made them disappear. I thought, I actually had a second thought. My first thought was, should I call my wife? And I didn't. I thought I could cover it, but I didn't. And that's naughty if you're listening. Call your wife. Call someone. Anyway, so I was looking for the batteries, and I couldn't find them. I assumed that he'd done something with them, and so we went on with our day. Now, eventually, we found those batteries in his nappy, and they had gone in and then had come out. And praise God, they'd come out. And then after a quick hospital visit, we actually found that it was all fine, and so praise God for that. But lesson learned. And if you've ever had one of those moments where you're either a grandparent or a parent or an auntie or an uncle, and you've been looking after young kids, inevitably you find sometimes they make their way into trouble. They get into trouble in some way. And after I actually went over to the hat rack and got my parent hat and put it back on for the day like I needed to, I was just thinking about that very fact, that sometimes our kids, no matter what they do, no matter where you actually put them to keep them safe, they inevitably sometimes find trouble. And I don't know if you could say that about you as well. Did you find trouble as a youngster? Were you in trouble a lot? Maybe you still are in trouble, and trouble seems to find you. And it's this thought that I want to speak about today on Good Friday. And I've titled this message today, Out of Trouble. Out of Trouble. If you're writing notes, title it, Out of Trouble. Let's just bow our heads. Let's prepare for the Word of God to hit our hearts and impact us today. Come on, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to read your word, to celebrate Jesus, your death, burial, and resurrection this Easter time. We thank you so much for your love for us. And I just pray that as we look at your word today, that we would have an even greater revelation of that amazing love for us. So no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing right now, we just want to take a moment and just remember what you have done for us. We open up our hearts to you today. Speak to us, oh God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you've ever found yourself in trouble before, and it's not the kind of trouble that I'm talking about where you did something wrong and you're in trouble, it's just finding yourself in a spot of bother, in trouble, no doubt one of your first thoughts is, well, how am I going to get myself out of this? How do I get out of this? And this photo that I'm going to show you right now is a photo of my eldest son. This is Judah. And this is Judah when he got stuck trying to fit down the side of our fridge. And he was, I think he was going in there for a toy or something like that, and he just slid himself in there. He decided to squat down. I don't know why he's squatting, but he decided to. But he couldn't get up. He was completely stuck, and we needed to get him out of that. And this same thing has happened. I've seen it happen with my brother when he was young. We have a photo of that. And maybe you have a child who has gotten themselves into a small gap and they have got stuck. They're in trouble in that moment. No matter how hard he tried in that picture, no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't get out. He needed help. No matter how hard he tried. We're going to open our Bibles this morning. So if you've got that in front of you, grab it out. We're going to go to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we're going to read from John 14. And this is set the night before Jesus was crucified. And he's sitting there with his disciples at the Passover. And he's told them that he's about to go away. And they have a few questions about this. They're wondering, well, Jesus, where are you going? We're just obviously getting to know you real well, and we really actually love you here. And why do you need to go? And so they're asking these questions. So we're going to read from verse number 3 to 7 of John 14. And if you don't have your Bible, it'll come up on the screen here for you. It says this, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And if you know the way to where I'm going, and you know the way to where I'm going. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him. You do know him and have seen him." So the disciples are wondering, where are you going, Jesus? Where are you going? And notice something here that what Jesus doesn't do. What Jesus doesn't do is pull a map out of his pocket and write it down for them. He doesn't get out his phone and text them the GPS coordinates or anything like that. And he just simply says, I am the way. I received a really encouraging email from a new member of our church this week, and you know who you are if once I read part of this out. And this person commented on, and thank you for that, by the way. This person commented on Nick's message on security from last week, and how often we get to the point where we say, God, I'm relying on you, my security. I'm relying on you and money, or I'm relying on you and my family, or relying on you and my friends. And in contrast with what Nick shared last week, it was about putting our full trust, our full security in God. I think the same can be said about what we're talking about right now. With this aspect of Jesus saying that he is the way, we can say, yes, God, I trust you and I want to follow you, but first let me see the map. God, I'm ready to go in, but first I want to see you plot the course out for me. Text me that address, Lord God. And from my searching in the Bible, I actually couldn't find anyone who Jesus sat down with and said, all right, first go here and then do this and then go to this person and then make that friendship and then marry this person. Like, it just doesn't work like that. But you know what he did say? And 20 times in the Gospels, Jesus says these words, follow me. Follow me. And the summary of this is perhaps no better put than in Matthew 19, 21, when there's this rich young ruler and he's asking Jesus this question of how do I get eternal life? How do I get into heaven? And after a bit of a to and fro between him and Jesus, Jesus says these words in Matthew 19, 21. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. When the young man heard these, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I never thought about it this way before, that story. But in the essence, the young man is asking the same question that we're asking today. He realizes this ain't it. This life that he has with all of these possessions, with everything, he talks about, I've ticked all the boxes, God. I've done it all properly. But it's not enough. And he knows it's not enough. And I think more than ever, in society and what we're going through right now, we understand that this is not enough. What we have and what we can build our lives upon is not enough because it can be taken away in an instant. And as he asks this question, what is the way to eternal life? I think it's similar to us asking, well, how do I get out of trouble? What I find, how do I get out of trouble? And Jesus' answer is the same to him. Follow me. I am the way. And though we experience many troubles during our lives, there's one trouble that actually trumps them all. And that's the problem of sin. Sin is first and foremost rebellion against God. Starting way back in the Garden of Eden with the eating of that forbidden fruit, humanity's first moment of saying at that moment was, God, I reckon I can do this without you. Humanity, we are in trouble. So how do we get out of this trouble? I think about it this way. If the fundamental problem of humankind is bad economics, which part we see, the way the world's going. If that's not a problem, if that was the problem, then what we need is a superb economist. If the supreme need of humankind is good health, again, so high on the list at the moment, then what we need is superb medical facilities, right? And people would argue that's the greatest human need right now. But if the supreme trouble that we find ourselves in is sin, then we need a salvation that addresses sin. Not just the outworking of these acts of rebellion, but the effects of sin itself, including sickness, suffering, war, hate, all the way through to death and even hell itself. And I don't know if you're glad at home. Well, I'm definitely so pumped about it that we know a salvation and that he has a name that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way out of this trouble of sin. Chris Nelson preached a message last year as part of our Jesus Is series. It was titled, Jesus Is the Way. In it, she talked about the way not being a destination that we find out we can make it to, but a direction that we face. It's a way we point. And right now, or right through the Bible, we see examples of people finding themselves in trouble, finding themselves in a spot of bother. And what is the first thing that they do? Or what's the first thing they should do? Is that they turn and face Jesus. They turn and face God. And I don't know what trouble you're facing right now, but I would encourage you, the first thing that you need to do is turn and face Jesus. Take it to him. Whatever that trouble is, trouble compounding on trouble, the first thing is to go to Jesus with it. He is the one who can deal with it. We're going to camp a little bit in the book of Romans. over today and both on Sunday as well. And I'm excited to share on Resurrection Sunday with everyone. So come back to church on Sunday morning. Paul's writing this book, and Paul, the great man that he was, puts us in the same boat. He puts himself and us all in the same boat here. And he talks about the one man that dumped us into the boat, and he talks about the one man that can actually pull us out of the boat. In Romans 5:18, he writes, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." That act of righteousness, that act of love for you and I, God's children, is enough to pluck us out of that boat if you're ready to grab his hand. Romans 3:21-24. I'm going to read this out of the Message version. It just highlights it a little bit and makes it easy to understand for us. It says this: "But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this." Other versions say it like this: "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned. "Since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and prove that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us." There is nothing that we can do, no amount of good works, no amount of loving other people, no amount of being kind that gets us out of this trouble. We sing a song sometimes, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And what a great moment we had with Chris sharing communion with us a few minutes ago. The trouble of sin can only be resolved by the love of a Savior. The passage continues and it says, "Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he always wanted us to be. And he did it by means of Jesus Christ. He made a way. Jesus is the way out of trouble." Today on Good Friday, we not only remember what Jesus did for us, but we praise God with joy that we didn't have to get to a certain level for Jesus to say, "All right, you're ready now. All right." We didn't have to get good enough. You didn't have to get good enough. You didn't have to read your Bible for Jesus to come. You didn't have to perform in life for Jesus to come. You didn't even have to stop sinning for Jesus to come. Because none of that would have been enough to deserve what he did in dying for you and I. Romans 5:8, you don't have it on the screen, but just listen to it. "For God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So for you at home, it might have been a long time since you've been in church. It might have been a long time that you've been living for yourself. And a long time before that, Christ knew and he died for you. He died to save you. In and through all that, he loves you so much. It's my prayer that you would know that today. Jesus' amazing love for you. To finish up today, I want to read the words that Jesus said before he died on the cross. We find them in John 19 and verse 28, if you want to read along. It's going to be there on the screen. It says, "After this, Jesus," he's on the cross, "Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, 'To fulfill the scripture, I thirst.' A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said," and I want you to read it out loud with me at home. "He said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." It is finished. Just quickly, those three words are actually one phrase in the Greek that he said. And it's tetelestai, tetelestai. And it meant it is finished. And it actually wasn't just one thing that Jesus said at that moment, but it was actually used quite commonly. And there are a few different meanings, and I've got four of them quickly for you here. It was used by servants and employees who returned to their master with news that they had finished the task. Jesus had finished the task God had given him. It was also a legal term judges would use to announce that a prisoner had completely served his prison time. Jesus made sure that justice had been served for our sin. It was also an accounting term, meaning that a debt had been paid in full. Jesus completely paid our debt. And priests used this term when they offered a sacrifice to God to say the sacrifice has been made, tetelestai, the sacrifice has been made. Jesus' death on the cross was the sacrifice for our sin, for your sin. It is finished. He has done it all. He is the way. He has brought us out of trouble and into life. And that's what we're going to talk about on Easter Sunday. Out of trouble and into life. I was watching this documentary the other day. It wasn't about SpaceX. It was a different one. And this one was about elephants. I was watching it with the kids. We sat down and these elephants would roam around, and on long journeys they would make their way to different watering holes in between where they were going. And there's this one shot of them making their way to a watering hole. And they just love it. They jump in there and they enjoy it and they have a drink and they trot around in this water hole. And after a bit of time, the water starts to dissipate and it starts to get all muddy. And so the elephants know at that point, all right, we're done here. This could be a little bit dangerous. And they split. But then the music changes in the documentary and you kind of know what that means, that something's not quite right. And you look across and there is this little baby elephant that is stuck in the mud. And you can see basically its head and that's about it, maybe part of its back. And it's the only one there. And all the elephants are safe and they're out. And what happens next is the leader of that herd actually sees that elephant and goes and makes its way into that mud. And the first thing it does is grabs the mud and digs it out from where that elephant's mouth is. Starts to dig the mud out of that elephant's mouth because it couldn't breathe. It was in serious trouble that it thought it was going to die. And as it does, it moves. And the point I want to make here is that that baby elephant had tried. It had tried to get out. And the more it tried, the more it got stuck. And that's kind of the way it works for us. The more we try, the more we find ourselves stuck. And so this mother elephant comes and it just starts gently digging out, bit by bit, digging out around and around and around until finally the elephant is getting air. Finally, it can stand up and it can slowly make its way out of this. And there's a big cheer from all the elephants when it comes out. There was one elephant who saw, there was one elephant who came, and there was one elephant that showed the way out. And Jesus saw you, he came for you, and he showed you the way out of trouble, which is through him. And he's reaching out to you today. I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond today for the way out of trouble. And again, like I said before, you could be watching this and you've never known Jesus before in your life, or maybe you made a decision a long time ago. And you're taking this opportunity right now to just check it out again. I want to give you the opportunity for that way out of trouble, to ask Jesus into your life. The Bible says that if we believe with our hearts and we confess with our mouths that he is Lord, then we will be saved. And that's what it is to become a Christian. It is to make Jesus Lord of your life, to acknowledge that we can't actually do anything ourselves to save ourselves, but he can, and that's good news. 2020 will be forever known as the year of the coronavirus. Sports events will have a little asterisk next to them. workplaces will have a little asterisk on their books. Maybe in your personal life, you put a little asterisk next to 2020. But I wonder with a decision today, whether you can put an asterisk next to 2020 as the moment, as the year that I began my relationship with Jesus. So if that's you today, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand where you are, even in your heart, if it's too awkward in the moment. And I'm going to pray for you. And though I can't see your hand, God can. He sees you, He knows you. And so if you want to accept Him, why don't you raise your hand right now? I'm going to pray. Father God, I thank You so much for Your amazing love for us. That even in those darkest moments, there is nothing that we could do. We were stuck in our sin, and out of Your great love for us, You sent Your Son to redeem us, to save us, to forgive us. And Father, we thank You and praise You for that. And Lord, I just pray for anyone who's raising their hand right now, anyone who wants to make You Lord of their life, Jesus, who wants to be, them to be saved out of that trouble. Lord God, maybe they're coming back and they want to dedicate their lives afresh to You right now. Father, I thank You for that decision. I thank You, Lord God, that we can walk fearlessly down that path with You. And I just pray that You would have Your way. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You for Your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Congratulations. That is so awesome. We would love to actually help you out with the furthering of that decision. And at our website, there is a simple link. It's lmc.org.au/Jesus. And you can register your decision there. And we will actually contact you and let you know the next steps from here. So I hope you've had a great day in church. Don't forget, we're back on 10 a.m. on Sunday morning for Resurrection Sunday. It's going to be a great day. Let's sing. Let's praise God as we go today. Amen.